May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all our hearts now and always be acceptable to you, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Please be seated. About 10 years ago, my uncle was diagnosed with blood cancer. He had two children under the age of 3. He needed an immediate surgery. One of my classmates was traveling to my hometown. I thought it would be quick to give the money to him to give it to my family to pay for the surgery. After he arrived, he never contacted my family. Instead, he kept the money to himself. I tried contacting him, no answer. I couldn't get hold of him. Sadly, my uncle passed away within a couple of days, leaving his two young children with his wife. This incident made me feel very upset, angry, and painful. It was tough and hard. From this gospel reading this morning, Jesus' words to us are very challenging. Jesus is asking us to show love regardless of what others do to us. Jesus calls us to love our enemies. Jesus begins his message by saying in verse 27, "I say to you that listens." His message is not particularly directed to his disciples, but to all who came to hear him. His audience, we read in Luke chapter 6, 17, came from all over Judea, from Jerusalem, from the coastal region around Tyre and Sidon. This message is for all. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Bless those who curse you. Pray for those who abuse you. It is an act of love Jesus is commanding here. We as Christians are to love and do good to those who hate us. Last week we heard Peter speaking to us about Jesus' blessings and woes. He talked about blessings to those who hate us. Jesus here is teaching us to show positive attitude to those four words we find in Luke 22. Those who hate, exclude, revile, and defame, but by just doing the opposite in verse 27 and 28, loving, doing good, blessing, and praying. Enemies could be personal, religious, or political, and it is not limited to certain categories. Jesus is not talking about having affection for enemies. He is teaching us to act off the will. Loving our enemies means acting in their best interests. Consider Jesus' own prayer for his executioners in Luke 23:34, which Peter remembers in his first letter, 2:23. When he was abused, he did not return abuse. When he suffered, he did not threaten. Instead, he asks God to forgive them, saying, "Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing." The natural response that comes out of us when someone does something wrong is to feel hurt and pain. Most of us do not have enemies, but when someone wrongs us, it is hard to forgive. Jesus tells us to love our enemies. Such self-denial is the essence of love. Think of Jesus who gave us himself on the cross. He did not seek retribution. Instead, he prayed for their forgiveness while hanging on the cross. As we read in Psalm 37:8, "Refrain from anger and forsake wrath. Do not fret. It only leads to evil." How often do we pray for those who hate us? This question itself shows how radically different Jesus' love is from the worldly love God wants us to be different, as Paul writes in his letter to the Romans 12:2. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. Reading on from verse 28, Jesus commands Christians, those who would follow him, that they are to bless those who curse them and pray for those who abuse them. To illustrate further, Jesus gives us an understandable example. We read, if anyone strikes you on the cheek, offer the other also. And from anyone who takes away your coat, do not withhold even your shirt. Jesus goes on to say, give to everyone who begs from you. And if anyone takes away your goods, do not ask for them again. Can we encounter someone doing this today? Jesus' point here is do not take revenge against anyone. Jesus' disciple Judas, who betrayed Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, initially Judas went and did ministry with Jesus, ate with him, and also took part in the Last Supper with him. But he was also a lover of money. He betrays Jesus with a sign of kiss and gets him arrested. Jesus' response to Judas in Matthew 26:50 was, friend, do what you are here to do. Jesus calls Judas a friend. Jesus knew Judas was the betrayer, yet he calls him friend. We can see how Jesus' humility here. Jesus is asking us to follow and live by his example by loving our enemies. And in verse 31, the phrase that is more commonly recalled, do to others as you would have them do to you. Grant your enemies the same respect and rights as you desire for yourself. Our Old Testament reading this morning from Genesis 45 teaches how Joseph was very kind towards his brothers. And many years have passed, his brothers are on their way to hunt for food to Egypt as there is famine in their hometown. When Joseph reveals himself to his brothers, they might have felt terrified to think back to what they have done to Joseph. But hear what Joseph says in verse 5. And now, do not be distressed or angry with yourselves. Because you sold me here, for God sent me before you to preserve life. You did not do this to me, but God. God wanted to spare your life and your livestock. What an incredible response Joseph gives. It is hard to imagine. He did not retaliate or take revenge against his brothers. As Joseph said to his brothers in Genesis 50:20, even though you intended to do harm to me, God intended it good in order to preserve numerous people as he is doing today. Joseph went through many hardships. He was rejected, kidnapped, enslaved, and imprisoned. Even though his brothers had been unkind to him, he graciously forgave them, and he even shared his prosperity with them. For Christians, we loan and love, give and forgive, for a reason. Jesus says that where we love our enemies, where we do good to them and give to them without expecting anything back, then our reward in heaven will be great. When we start to see how God sees it and act as how God acts, then such open-heartedness cannot go unrewarded. Let's follow along to see what Jesus has in store to teach the crowd. Jesus summarizes here, saying all four words, loving, doing, blessing, and praying, must be exercised freely, not expecting anything in return. As promised in Luke 6:23, surely your reward in heaven is great. which is not to the level of worldly advantage, because the disciples have worked on their character, which reflects being unselfish. As Luke 14:13-14 says, when you give a banquet, invite the poor, the crippled, the lame, and the blind, and you will be blessed, because they cannot repay you, for you will be repaid at the resurrection of the righteous. Our lives must be lived righteously in order for us to inherit God's kingdom. Righteous living involves loving others, doing good to others, blessing and giving generously to others. And the second blessing Jesus promises is, you will be called the children of Most High. You might have heard people say, he or she is just like her father or her mother. We receive our identity in Christ as the children of the Most High because we imitate God and his qualities in us. The next verse is really important, verse 36. Be merciful, just as your Father is merciful. Disciples themselves were capable of making mistakes and were in need of forgiveness, and they had to recognize this in others too. Ultimately, forgiveness belongs to God, but we are called to reflect on our human weaknesses and depend on God's mercy. There is no room for arrogance to be taking a higher status. Just as God is graciously redeeming us, so must his children be merciful to others who are unkind, ungrateful, and the wicked. We can ask God's help in forgiving others and showing mercy towards them. And finally, do not judge, and you will not be judged. This does not mean that we are never to stand against wrong or to warn others of ethical or spiritual danger. It is the attitude that is at stake. A desire for the good of others instead of simply pointing out their flaws and failures. Christians are to practice godliness, and we are to forgive. And in our forgiving, we ourselves will be forgiven. Eventually, when my friend did answer my calls after a few days, I asked him what happened, why he couldn't contact my family to give the money. He said, which money are you talking about? I don't know anything. His response was most shocking. The money that I earned and saved, which I gave it to him, was all gone. It was painful and hurting. I don't hate him or desire anything evil against him, but it is hard. Forgiveness is costly. It cost me money. To forgive someone sometimes can be costly. I left it to God to deal with this, just as Jesus entrusted himself to the one who judges justly in 1 Peter 2:23. Let us examine what stops us from loving our enemies. The gospel reading will help us ponder this during the week to see how we can forgive, do good, bless, and pray for others. Amen.